The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel? I don't know about you, but after hearing about the mass shooting in San Bernardino, California last Wednesday, I feel like someone has just punched me in the stomach. Again. And my stomach has been in knots ever since. And apparently, I'm not alone in feeling like this. On December 3rd, the New York Times asked its subscribers this question: do you worry about mass shootings? Do you worry about mass shootings? And here are a few of the responses that they got. 26-year-old Damien said, "Anytime a colleague or a friend is let go from a job, I'm afraid he's going to come back into the office and shoot up the entire office." Anyone feel like that? 17-year-old Andrew answered, "I'm tired of being scared. I want to go to college next year and feel safe, but I don't." Any young people feel like that? A proactive professor said, "I am a teacher, and I constantly rehearse in my mind what steps I would go to protect me and my kids from a shooter barging into the school." A 58-year-old lady named Paula said, "I think about it anytime we are in public, particularly in crowds. I no longer feel safe anywhere." Do any of these comments capture how you feel these days? And then a really low blow came when the New York Daily News, a rather liberal-leaning paper, touted the headline, "God ain't fixing this." Did you see that? God isn't fixing this. Basically, they were accusing conservative politicians of hiding behind pious platitudes like, "Let's pray about this," instead of enacting tighter gun legislation. But however off the mark that headline was, haven't you also sometimes wondered, why doesn't God fix this? And to top it all off, we're in the middle of Advent, a time of hope and joy, and especially peace. But peace is the last thing we feel these days. I don't know about you, but it sure doesn't feel much like Christmas time to me. Does it to you? In the Gospel today, in the reading, we see John announcing the coming of Christ to begin his public ministry. And those days didn't feel very Christmassy either. The gospel begins by introducing the key characters who would play pivotal roles in the birth and in the death of John and Jesus. We hear about Caesar, who took the worldwide census, and about Pontius Pilate, who washed his hands free of guilt. And there's Herod, who would behead John in prison, and Annas and Caiaphas, who conspired to crucify Christ. In other words, the first time Christ came into the world, there was corruption and greed in the government from top to bottom. And I'm sure many people felt exactly like those subscribers to the New York Times. They were scared. And can't you just imagine some pundit in Palestine saying, "God isn't fixing this"? But John the Baptist preached a different message. He said, "Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of our God." That is, in spite of the worst that the world can throw at us, God's plans and purposes will not be thwarted. You see, John's message rang through the mountains of the Middle East and boldly proclaimed, "God is fixing this." Or as our evangelical friends like to say, when you are down to nothing, God is up to something. In other words, God's plans always prevail. But they do so in humble and hidden and humdrum ways. And you need the eyes of faith to see them. Otherwise, all you see are terrorists and mass shootings. You know, I'm a big fan of the sitcom called Seinfeld. Now, that show is not fit for most of you, so you should not watch it. Only priests can watch that show. Arguably, one of the best episodes ever of Seinfeld was when Kramer saves a lady's pinky toe after her foot was run over by a street cleaner. And then he gets on a bus and fights off a mugger. And then he actually has to drive the bus to the hospital and gives the woman her toe back. And in the middle of this story, Kramer dramatically declares, "Jerry, the bus was out of control." Remember that line? You know, a lot of people these days may feel that way, thinking, "This country is out of control." Or, "Our world is out of control." But do you know what I always tell people who feel like life is out of control? I remind them, the Holy Spirit is still driving the bus. The Holy Spirit is still driving the bus. Why do I say that? Because when the Holy Spirit is driving the bus, John's prophecy comes true. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. In other words, when the Holy Spirit drives the bus, it doesn't get out of control, because the Spirit's driving makes the road straight and smooth. May I share with you a few places where I see the Holy Spirit driving the bus? Well, 2,000 years ago, the Spirit was driving the bus when a baby was born in Bethlehem and when Jesus Christ was crucified in Jerusalem. Yes, he was driving the bus then. But I see the Spirit driving the bus today too, in a pope who preaches love for the poor. I see the Spirit driving the bus in husbands and wives who forgive each other and try to save their marriages. There's the Spirit driving the bus. I see the Spirit driving the bus in young people who think about a vocation to be a priest or a nun. I see the Spirit driving the bus in parents who make sacrifices to send their children to Catholic schools. I see the Spirit driving the bus when a mother chooses to keep her baby instead of get an abortion. I see the Spirit driving the bus when Catholics choose to go to Mass instead of stay home and watch football or go hunting. That's the Spirit driving the bus. I see the Spirit driving the bus in a teenage girl who asked for a priest to come see her in a mental hospital. And now she comes to Mass every Sunday. You see, it takes the eyes of faith to see how the Spirit is driving the bus. And if you look through the eyes of faith, you see how God is fixing this. Otherwise, you'll just dramatically declare, "Jerry, the bus is out of control!" What do you see? Praised be Jesus Christ.